of Revelation. And by the way, if you wanted to know about that New Jerusalem, you could read the book of Revelation at the end of Revelation, chapter 21 and 22. You could find out about that New Jerusalem. All right, let's turn to the book of Jude, verse 20 through 25. God gave us a wonderful day, didn't he? All right, see the red light? Must means it's on. All righty, let's stand for the reading of God's word. I'm glad to see each one of you. Boy, when you stand up, looks like there's a whole lot more people here. You're going to have you stand for the whole service. No, I'm just kidding you. Just kidding you. Notice in the book of Jude, I'm going to read verse 20 through 25. But ye, beloved, you know who he's talking about there, beloved, those that are saved. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. We have a holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. How many are looking for that eternal life through Christ? And some, having compassion, making a difference. And others, saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hid even the garment spotted by the flesh. Look at verse 24. Now unto him, that's talking about the Lord, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. By the way, I'm not worried about losing my salvation. I'm kept by the power of God. I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit. I'm sealed until the day of redemption. You can't lose your salvation. Most of these people say they lost their salvation, they just never got it. You get saved. Once you become a child of God, you're a child of God forever. David Skyver is my son forever. He might not want to be my son sometimes, but he's going to be my son forever. And once you become a son of God, child of God, you're a child of God forever. Now unto him that's able to keep you from falling, presents you faultless. We're faultless because the blood of Christ cleanses from all sin. Before the presence of his glory with exceeding, you ever look at the words of the word of God? With exceeding joy. What's exceeding mean? A whole lot. To the only wise God, our Savior. By the way, seven letters. Seven's God's perfect number. Six, the Savior that's got six letters, not our Savior. That's Antichrist. Ours has got seven because that's God's perfect number. To the only wise God, our Savior, to be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and ever. Amen. Pretty special, isn't that? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the most precious word of God. Lord, you put this in my heart a few weeks ago, and I really believe I need to preach this message. Help me, Father. Holy Spirit, fill me. Help me to speak with the Spirit and the power of God. Help me be a difference maker for others that are here today. Help me be an encourager. Help me be a lifter-upper and a heart and a buckler to those that need help right now. Lord, just come down and meet with us now. Help us to love you more and serve you more all the days of our life. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Today I want to speak to you about making the difference for someone. Making the difference for someone. If you look at verse 22, it says, and look at verse 22. And some, having compassion, making a difference. How many want to make a difference for someone? I know I sure do. Listen, our goal in life should be to make a difference for someone. That ought to be my goal. That ought to be your goal. But what, you know why we run these buses? Because we're trying to make a difference for some little boy or girl or some lady or man, making a difference for them. The way we do do all the ministries we do for one reason, to make a difference for them. Today I want us all to, and myself included, I want to ask you a few questions. And I want us to think about these. I wrote down three things I wanted to ask you. Today I want all of us, to, and myself included, to ask a few questions to ourselves. Number one, am I personally making a difference for someone's life? Am I personally making a difference for someone's life? Are we really? Number two, do I really care? Do I really care about making a difference for someone's life? Sometimes the reason we don't make a difference for people's lives is because we don't care about it. Number three, am I really making a genuine, real effort to make a difference in someone's life? Are my efforts really genuine? Are they real? Are they pure? Are they from the heart for Christ? I know as a church and as a whole, we're making some great efforts for Christ, all the different ministries we have, and that's wonderful, that's tremendous. I thank God for every ministry we have, and I believe we are making a difference. I believe we are, in the nursing home ministry, church visitation, the teen department, ABL club, the missions that we support, bus routes, Bethel Bikers, Super Church, Jail Ministry, Sunday School, BBCA, Hattie Lorman, you can just keep on going through all of them. I know all those programs that we have for our church, all those different outreaches are making a difference, and I hope we keep making a difference. Can anyone say amen? And those are great, but that's, as I look at them, that's collectively as a group. Today I want us to focus on individuals. What am I individually doing? What can I individually do one-on-one for others? Don't turn to it. Let me just quote it to you. Remember in John chapter 1, verse 41, Andrew findeth his own brother Simon, said unto him, we have found the Messiah. I'm going to tell you right now, Andrew made a difference for his brother. He went to his brother one-on-one. He made a difference for someone. I saw this picture a few weeks ago and I bought it at my favorite store. Priorities. And this is what really stirred me up when I saw it. 100 years from now, it will not matter what my bank account was. That's the truth. The sort of house I lived in, or the kind of car I drove, but the world may be different because I was important in the life of a child. In other words, hey, it doesn't matter what I drive, what I live in, all the wardrobes I had. Those are all going to pass away. But what I do for someone else is going to make a difference. Someone's making a difference. Someone made a difference for you, son. They really did. They made a difference for you. I'm going to tell you, we need to make a difference for someone. And that's my whole heart today. Someone, listen to me, someone is out there waiting for you and me to rescue them from sin and hell. How many believe that? Say amen. Are we looking for it? Are we trying to reach them? Someone is waiting for you to come and personally take interest in their life. People know when it's real. People know when we really care. How many are still with me? They know when you're genuine or when you're just going through the motions. Someone, somewhere, needs someone to care enough that their goal in life is to help someone come to Christ. I know that sounds backwards, but it isn't. Someone's out there, and they need someone to come to them and reach them for Christ. Can anyone say amen? There's a little boy out there right now. I guarantee you, there's a little boy out there somewhere that needs someone to care about him. There's a little girl out there right now that needs someone to share Jesus with her. I wonder, will we be those people to do that? There's a brokenhearted man and a brokenhearted woman and a torn marriage out there that their life's at a dead end. And they're just waiting for someone like you and I. Someone that'll care. Someone that'll make a difference and bring them to Christ. You know what? We need, listen to me. There's someone out there that needs us. Are we watching for them? Are we looking for them? Are we willing to go to them when the opportunity arises? Can anyone say amen or oh me? The question is this. Do we care enough to reach out and touch those hurting people that are in need for Christ? That picture spoke to my heart when I saw it. When we come to the end of our life, listen to this now. I'm not going to preach long today, but this truth really got a hold of me, Ruth. It really did. Jack, when we get to the end of our life, the only thing really going to count is what we did for Christ. It won't, listen, when we come to the end of our life, it really doesn't matter how much money I made in my life or how much I acquired. Not against money. By the way, I don't have a lot. I'm not acquiring, so I came into this world not with nothing. I'll probably go without nothing. But even if I did, it doesn't matter. But how did I use that money for Christ? That would matter. It won't matter what houses I've lived in or how many cars I've owned. Now around my house, nobody gets near my caddy. I love my Cadillac. But stay with me. And don't get mad at me. You all have your favorite cars. Mine's sitting in my garage right now. But at the end of my life, that Cadillac ain't going to mean nothing for Christ. I hope it... I'm not saying it's wrong to have a nice car. I'm not saying it's wrong to have a nice house. There's nothing wrong with that, as long as you don't put them before Christ. I use that car when I go out in visitation and go visit as a good report for our church and for the ministry. And by the way, it's a 2001; just looks brand new. Amen. Listen, it won't matter about my wardrobe, how many shoes and garments and suits I've collected over my life, but what will really matter is what I made a difference for someone for Christ. Listen, I'm just saying, at the end of our life, what really matters? That's someone out there. There's a someone out there. There's a someone in your life out there that's waiting. There's someone out there in your life right now waiting for you to come to them. Waiting for you to share the love of Christ. Waiting for you to show some compassion. Waiting for you to just reach out and say, hey, do you know about Jesus? Maybe it's just taking them and buying them a hamburger or something. I don't know. But there's someone out there looking for you. God's got, by the way, I think there's someone, Brother Carl, I believe God's someone out there for me too. And Bethel, I want to challenge me and you, are we looking, when we're out, are we looking? By the way, sometimes you don't have to look too far. Sometimes it could be someone in your own family. You know what's amazing? How we overlook our family. I know a prophet has no honor in his home. But I'm going to tell you right now. I think the first, Brother Danny, I remember years ago as a young man, after my dad died, I went to every single person in my, my cousins, my aunts, my uncles, my grandma, my grandpa. I went to every single person individually. I went, when my dad died, I told God, I'm going to go to every person in my family and tell them about Jesus. Some of them got saved. Can I ask you something? When's the last time you said something to your mom or dad? When's the last time you said a prayer for your sister or your brother? When's the last time you reached out to that neighbor? How about that man you and that lady that you work with? When's the last time you really said, God, I need to reach this person before they die and go to hell? How many are still with me yet? The question is, do you and I care enough to reach out and touch those hurting and needing people for Christ? This picture really spoke to my heart. You know, they're out there. Am I just willing to make a difference for them? What will really matter? What really will matter is when my life is over, what I did for Christ. I wrote this down. God's not counting how many buildings I build. God's looking for how many lives I build. Oh, I'm not, I want to, man, the preacher's flipping out. He got sick last week. No, I want to build the building out there. I know you're saying, what's going on? I'm going to challenge you. Don't get your eyes on material things. Get your eyes on the eternal souls for God. Am I making sense to anybody today? Our Savior, Jesus Christ, his entire life was devoted to make a difference for someone. He made a difference for someone so they'd have to go to hell and so they could enjoy the splendor of heaven. Jesus' birth. Jesus' 33 and a half years on earthly life, perfect life, by the way, without sin. Jesus' death, Jesus' resurrection was for one reason, to make a difference for someone. That's what it was. He just wanted to make a difference for you, Jordan. He just wanted to make a difference for me. Jesus' life was always, and I'm not preaching my other's message, but this is very similar. It was always for others. Christ died for others. He suffered for others. Matthew 27:42, it says, He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If Jesus would have saved himself, he couldn't have saved others. Why am I saying that? If we're going to reach somebody, I'm going to pick on Bob and Sonia right now. I'm looking at that yellow tie and the yellow shirt. Bobby, the way you know why you are and Sonia are effective in the Hattie Lorham so much? Because you have died to yourself and given your life for those kids. That's why it's so effective. We got to die to ourselves and live for others. Can anyone say amen? Jesus' life was always for others. Jesus lived not for himself, but for others. Jesus' entire life, he focused, was dedicated making a difference. Listen, his whole life was dedicated for one reason, to make a difference for someone. Are you one of those someones that he made a difference for? Can anyone say amen? Now, are you still with me in the book of Jude? Look at that verse 20. How many is in the little book of Jude with me? Look at verse 20. But ye, who's ye? It's yuns, y'all, you. Beloved, you're beloved. Building up yourself on your most holy faith. How many see that? You say, wow, preacher. Build up yourself on your most holy faith. How do I do that? How do I build my faith up? How do I build up a holy faith? First of all, I tell you, listen to the Word of God a lot. Read the Word of God a lot. Turn the TV off and read your Bible. Romans 10, we're talking about holy faith now. How do we get holy faith? The Bible says in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. They call this Holy Bible. This King James Bible. It's holy. It's from God. Are you still with me? And if I want to be holy, I better give myself over to the study and searching and reading of the Word of God so I can get that in my heart. So then faith, and by and coming to hear the Word of God. Believe it or not, when you come to church, your faith grows. Because you hear the Word of God. You say, oh, that guy, he laid an egg. Yeah, but the Word of God never goes on void. And there's something that you hear today and then tonight. And every time you come, when you hear the Word of God, there's something there that God's going to put in your heart forever. And it's going to help you in the future. Listen. Do you want holy faith to be built up in your life? Then read His holy Word. That sounds profound, don't it? It sounds so simple, but it's profound. How many want to have holy faith? How do you get faith? By reading His Word. Is His Word holy? Hello? God's holy Word will give us a holy faith. It'll give us a holy attitude. Hello? Help your marriages now. Guarantee if men and women both read the Bible a lot, their marriage will be better. Because the Bible will give you a holy attitude. It'll give you a holy walk. It'll give you a holy testimony. It'll give you a holy concern for others. The King James Bible tells you it's holy. Read it. Study it. Memorize it. Go and listen to it preached every time the doors are open. And get it. Take it in. Take it in. Take it in. Drink of that. Drink of this fountain instead of the filth that you want to drink from the world. It will have a holy effect on you. Look up here. If I make this Bible a priority in my life, if you make this Bible a priority in your life, this holy Bible, it'll have an effect on you. Sin will keep you from the Bible, or the Bible will keep you from sin. Number two, it says praying in the Holy Ghost in verse 20. If you get in this Holy Word faithfully, if you get in the Holy Word, then you will be praying. You will not be fleshly praying, but you'll be Spirit-filled praying. Makes a big difference. When you pray in the power of the Holy Spirit to God, you will see God's mighty hand working in your life. The reason we don't see great things in our life, we don't have the power of God resting on our life. Boy, it's quiet here this morning. People say, preacher, God never answers my prayer. I prayed and prayed and God never answers them. Let me ask you a question. When you prayed, were you praying in the spirit or were you praying in the flesh? Because God brings results when it comes from the Spirit. And by the way, and I'm not going charismatic on you, not flapping the tongue. When you really have the Holy Spirit filled in you, you have a different attitude, you have a different heart. And when you pray in the Spirit, you will talk to God about things that are very interesting to God. You will talk to Him about spiritual things. How many are still with me? And the flesh will be put, recognize yourself dead to that flesh, and then you will yield to the Spirit, and you will see fruit from God. Am I making sense to anybody today? Number 3, verse 21. Keep yourself in the love of God. Boy, that's hard. Keep yourself in the love. Boy, how do you keep... When you're watching a Ohio State game last night, how do you stay in the love of God? I about had a heart attack watching them guys. So maybe I shouldn't watch too many Ohio State games. And definitely don't watch no Cleveland Indians. Hello? What I'm saying is this. If you want to stay in the love of God, then strive to walk with God and bear the fruits of God. There's 9 fruits of the Spirit in the book of Galatians chapter 5. I think it's 24 through 27. Look up here, everybody. There's 9 fruits. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance. It goes, there's 9 of them. Then it goes, against such there's no law. If we walk in the Spirit, people won't offend us. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. If I get offended, Brother Carl, I'm not in the Spirit. Because if I'm in the Spirit, I'll have love, joy, peace. Understand? How many are with me? The fruit of the Spirit is there. It's real. And we can have it. It's, the Holy Spirit dwells within us. We just got to exercise those fruits. How many are still with me? Many times, we don't exercise the fruit of the Spirit. We're in the flesh. We have anger and wrath. Come on. Hello. Some of you adults and you parent and you kids too. Kids and parents screaming, yelling at each other, want to rip their eyes out. That's not God. You married couples. Well, I'll teach her. Well, I'll teach him. I'll burn his eggs today or something. I'll make a cake and I'll put arsenic in it. Don't you do that, Nicole. He's rotten, but he ain't that bad. Stay with me. We can be what we want to be. We can determine to walk with God or determine not to walk with God. It's who we yield ourselves to. When I go off the handle, let me pick on me and Eddie. Eddie, me and you both are, we both got bad tempers, Eddie. If we lose our temper, Eddie, you and I, and we do, I do a lot, probably even more than you do, that's the flesh working. That's not God. And when your friend, and when your family or your where you work sees you in the flesh, it takes away your testimony for Christ. And all those years and months and days that you work to have a great testimony, you can ruin it within one time of losing your temper with a bad act. How many are still with me? Yeah, let me tell you this joke, and it was a bad joke, and you shouldn't have told it in the first place. You should never listen to it. You know, it's about time Christians say, we're not going to listen to that bad stuff. We're not going to look at that bad stuff. I'm not going to let you take me into that world. And don't be ashamed of it. Keep yourself in the love of God. Stay away from the lustful things of the world. You know, you're in Jude. Go to 1 John, just right close to where you're at. 1 John, chapter 2. Look at verse 15 through 17. I'll tell you why we're not reaching people. Our testimonies are bad. We're not walking in the power of the Spirit. We're walking in the flesh. And people see a fleshly Christian instead of a Spirit-filled Christian. They're seeing worldly Christians instead of godly Christians. Hello. 1 John 2:15. Love not the world. Yeah, this ain't our world anyways. You know what, Billy? It's amazing. We all do it. Me too. We get so caught up in it, and we forget. What am I worried about this place? I'm leaving it. Listen. This is not our home. Heaven's our home. We're just pilgrims passing through. And we get so caught up with all the other distractions. Many times, those distractions take our focus off of what God wants us to do. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world is the lust of flesh, the lust of the eyes, pride of life. Is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world, it's going to pass away. Let me see that. And the world passes away. It's going to burn up. This old world's going to burn up, man. it's going to be a crispy critter. You read the book of Revelation, it's going to burn up. Lake of fire. It's all going to burn up. And the world, look at, passes away, verse, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God, what's it going to do? It's going to abide forever. That's why when we stand in, over in the book of Corinthians, it talks about chapter 3. It talks about how, look up here for it, fellas. When one day when we stand before Christ, he's all right. We're going to stand not for our salvation. If you weren't saved, you wouldn't be there at the judgment seat of Christ. And God's going to show everything before our whole life. And what we really did for Christ is going to last, but all the other stuff we did is going to be thrown away, cast away. The Bible says it's going to be burned because they were burnt. They were works of the flesh. You know what, Phil? I dread that day because I know there's a lot of things I did were the works of the flesh. Oh, I have some things in the spirit too, but. I think, if you folks will be honest with me, I think we're going to have more works of the flesh burnt there than we have the saving of the works of the Spirit. Because we didn't yield to the Spirit of God. Am I making sense to anybody today? And then, back in 1 John, listen, if we will get away from the world, we will make a difference for someone out there. Look, the reason, Jimmy, many times we don't make a difference for that someone that needs us, we're too caught up with the world, and we give ourselves to the worldly things that are that God's not interested in, and we pass up because the world puts blinders on you. You don't see like you're supposed to see. We don't do like we're supposed to do. Am I making sense to anybody today? Boy, I'll tell you, I don't know if I can pull it up, but you know what I want to do, Brother Mike? And I don't even know if we got this stuff. I'm going to try to get it together too before this month ends. I'd like to have one more day that we go out knocking on doors. I'd like to do like 5,000 doors in one day. Before the winter comes, I don't even know if we have 5,000 packets, but I'd like to have about 35 people here, and each of us do 50. I don't know how many that would end up with, but if we all did 50 in one day, and I'll do it too. I'll force myself to go out, because I really believe we need to knock on doors and tell people we care. I mean, with a real heart. I'm not going there just because I got to go. I'm there because I want to be there. Because someone out there needs me. Someone out there needs me to care. Someone out there needs me to share. Someone out there needs me to reach out and say, hey, there's someone in heaven that loves you. Christ Jesus loves you. They'll laugh. Some of them will. But you'll be surprised. There'll be a few out there say, oh man, I've been praying. I don't know God, but I asked God to bring someone by today that could tell me about him. Hello? I remember as a kid, and I know I shared this with you lots of times, I'd close those bars up at 2:30 in the morning. I'd walk out with alcohol on me. And I'd look up to the sky every single night, Coolidge. Every single night, I'd walk out of the AD bar at 2:30 in the morning. The only reason I walked out then is because they made you go. A few times we stayed, they closed the lights and we stayed there and went all night. But every night, for months, I walked out of there. Walked across the street. There was an old Union Pure gas station there. I don't know if you remember those old gas. That's where I used to park my car. I'd get over to that Pure gas station in front of my car. And I'd look up every night. I was just a young kid, 18, 17, 18 years old. You said, "Preacher, you can't drink till you're 18. I was drinking when I was 15 years old, all the time. And by the time I was 17, I was drinking everything at the pool hall, and then later, because I was there all the time, I was drinking the hard stuff when I was 18. But I'd walk out every night, Brother Coolidge. I say, "Oh God. God, I know you're up there. God, there's got to be more to life than this. God, there's got to be more than life than this." And every night, I'd cry out to him. Wasn't saved. Didn't know nothing about. Oh, I knew Jesus, but I didn't know him as my Savior. I wonder how many rich skyvers are out there right now saying, "Oh God, I know you're up there. Show me. Please help me." God sent a little girl named Rosie. Rosie Cockrell. First time I met Rosie, back then they had these real huge curlers. And she, man, I mean, they were big as a paper, like one of them big paper towels you buy at Giant Eagle. She had her hair, she had like four in there, man. She looked like she was a space invader, man. And it wasn't really that becoming, but something attracted me to her. And I wasn't, I mean, you, I don't care who you put that on. Look like they're tripping, baby. You might as well be with Tiny Tim and the Tulips. But she took me to hear the Word of God, her and her parents. Took me out to hear about Jesus. I'm so glad they did. And I'm so glad she took the curlers out. Because once she gets them curlers out, she's beautiful. She's always been beautiful to me. I still are today. I whistle, "Woo-hoo, man, you're sharp." Some of you guys ought to learn to do that. You shouldn't have an old guy tell you to do that. You young guys ought to do it every day. I'm going to hurt you old guys too. Hello. You know, if you're whistling at your wife, you ain't whistling at somebody else's.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
Boy, this is good preaching, isn't it? I didn't even have that written down. Number four. Looking for His mercy. Looking for His mercy and eternal life. Wow. Looking for His mercy. Go back to Jude there. Little book of Jude there. Verse 21. Keep yourself in the love of God. Are we keeping ourselves in the love of God? We won't unless we stay in His book. We won't if we don't resist the flesh. Looking for His mercy, Lord, under eternal life, and some having compassion, making a difference. I'm telling you right now, we would make a difference for somebody. We could make a difference if we have the love of God in us. Now, notice, it goes on, looking for His mercy and eternal life. Look, see verse 21? Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal. Are you looking for it? Look up here. I know I get excited up here. And I know somebody, he's just doing that to make us feel good. No, you don't understand. If this building was empty and people were telling me about Christ and stuff, I would be amen and shouting, jumping up and down, even if there wasn't, if the building was empty. It's in me. I can't keep my lips shut because I love saying, "I love you, Jesus." Hey, hey, hey. Hey, 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 I'm saved. Hey, 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 all my sins are forgiven. Hey, 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 Yogi. And Little Bear, what other guy's name is? Boo Boo, yeah. I don't want to make a boo boo. I get excited about my salvation. Look what it says there in verse 21. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you looking for Him? Are you looking for Him? Looking for the mercy of our unto eternal life. Man, I'm going to go to heaven. That isn't how the song goes. Dun, 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 dun. What's the name? How's that song go? I'm going to live, yeah. I'm going to live forever. I'm going to die, no, never. Jesus died on the tree for me, and I'm going to live forever. I'm going to live forever. I'm going to die, no, never. Jesus died on the tree for me, and I'm going to live forever. You know, that ought to be in your heart all the time. I don't care if I woke you up at 3 in the morning, you ought to say, hallelujah, I'm going to live forever because of Jesus. I'm saved, I'm sealed, I'm sanctified, set apart, hallelujah. How many are still with me? We let the world steal that from us. See, I think about, you say, well, you're getting to be an old codger, preacher. I was thinking about heaven when I was a young codger like you. I've never got over being saved. I can't believe God saved me. I can't believe I'm going to heaven. But I am. And it was free for me. Cost Jesus his life. How many are still with me? And see, here's the thing. Most Christians go around sad sack all their life. People see that. They never see that hope that's in you. They never see the exuberance that should be coming out of you. I'm not saying to be a phony. But there's something real about Christ. And there's something real about His Word. And there's something real word about His promises. And there's something, man, those are in deep in my heart saying, oh man, one day, hallelujah, the trump of God's going to sound. And I'm going up, 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 hallelujah. And the moment of twinkling, this old fat boy's going to take off. Hallelujah. And it never leaves me. It really doesn't. It never has. Why can't you be as excited? Now, everybody has different personalities. No one. I'm not saying you have to be as outward as me. But there should be an inward shout in your heart. You ought to have that same inward joy that I have thinking about the rapture, thinking about going to heaven, thinking about seeing your loved ones. How many are still with me? Man, we're going to a place of... Sue sang about heaven, this Jerusalem. Oh, hallelujah for Jerusalem. Amen? Hey, I forgot to say... You know what? Can I give you a commercial within this message? I'm going to read this to you. I read this over the phone. Monday. I'll come right back. I'm on my last point. Don't leave me. Stay there in wherever, the book of Jude. Brother Rich, I got so excited. Fox News put on the Prime Minister of Israel the other day, and he was addressing the whole United Nations. And he was really speaking out boldly. He was telling Iran, you better not mess with us. I'll take you out in a minute, pal. And then he brought me right out of my chair. Matter of fact, I started clapping and yelling in my house. And the Ohio State wasn't playing. I was clapping for the Jews. I was praising God for Israel. Here's what he said. He said this right to the whole world. See, Tim, I think God used that prime minister. I wish I could pronounce his name. Not Namamu. I can't pronounce it, but you know what I'm talking about. He's a prime minister. How'd you like to sign that? Boy, that'd be one to sign, wouldn't it? Some of you aren't getting this. And he spoke about Israel being in their homeland. And they never leave. I'm going to read it to you. I put it on the one call yesterday. In Amos chapter 9. And we read it Wednesday night here. And I put it on the one call. And I'm going to read it again today. And I will bring again, verse 14 of Amos 9, I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities, and they have, by the way. Israel went for 2,500 years without a homeland. They're back. They're never going to, Brother Nowak, they're never going to leave. Isn't that exciting? If you had one way to know this Bible was the pure word of God, just look at Israel. Everything God talks about, it's happened. I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them upon their land. Man, that's no accident. And what's amazing, I keep looking at the map, Jordan. You look at all the map, all the countries, how huge they are. Israel is just a little smither. I mean, in one place of Israel, it's only 8 miles wide. Like, I was trying to think, from the east coast to the west coast, I'm thinking it's over 3,000 miles. And probably from upper Oregon or one of those western states way at the top, down to the tip of Florida, I'll bet that's 4,000 miles. No, or close, at least 3,000. No, I'm trying to get this right. It's 1,500 miles to Naples from Ravenna. So it'd be over, probably be 2,500 miles, 2,000 miles. But what I'm saying is, our boundaries of our country, stay with me, our boundaries of our country is like 3,000, maybe by 3,000 or 2,500. How many are with me? And there's this little tiny country. They're so tiny, they barely can be seen on a map. And the whole world is mad at them. And everybody wants that little piece of strip they have. Doesn't that tell you something? There's a God in heaven. And these little people that the world down through the centuries have picked on, they keep living, Billy. They keep surviving. They keep preserving. It's because God Almighty, He says that Israel's the apple of their eye. Always love Israel. Pray for Israel. Pray for Jerusalem. God wants us to, and I do love them with my heart. I really do. But the world wants to destroy them, Coolidge. But there's a God in heaven that says, I'm going to knock your block off. And sometimes He has. In 1967, they had a six-day war, Israel against all those Arab nations. 3 million Jews against 100 million Arabs. And the 3 million Jews in 6 days pushed out that 100 million. And if they were, in the 100 million, they could have destroyed them all, but they stopped. Think about that. How did they do that? It was God. I'm almost done. God made a difference for Israel. Who can you and I make a difference for? There's someone out there that needs us to make a difference for them. Did I read that verse? And I will plant them upon their land. They shall no more be pulled out, their land which I've given them, saith the Lord God. God gave them that land. By the way, they don't even have a portion. They don't have a portion of what God gave them. They've given away some of the land that God gave them to try to have peace. Finally, I say this. Look for His mercy and eternal life. Think about the great salvation God has given to you. Look forward to seeing the return of Christ. In verse 22, if you do this that I talked about this morning, and we take what God's given to us to make a difference for someone, someone would be blessed if you and I would do that. And I close with this statement. this week, right here, will you look for that someone? Someone's out there. Someone's out there for you this week. Oh, not me. No, there's someone out there for you this week. Someone's out there for you this week if you'll just let God direct you. And by the way, and I'm all done, if we'll get really plugged into the Lord, many times you don't have to run after them. God will bring them to you. Preacher, I remember years ago when I was still working at the Allied Chemical. I was in the ministry, but wasn't full-time yet. I used to just sit there and read my Bible. I'd pray, God, bring them. I used to call people's name. Lord, have them come. Have them come. Have them come and sit right across from me. We had a real tall man at our plant where I worked. We called him Stretch. He was like, basically, he was very similar to Brother Myers in looks and stature and everything. We called him Stretch Myers. And he was a Roman Catholic, devout Roman Catholic. And I tried to witness to him. So what I did, I started praying, God, I put one of those little pamphlets in there. I had a way to get to heaven through it. I can't name it. It was a full 3 brochure, how to get to heaven or something. It was a real sharp track at the time. And I put it in my Bible. And I said, Lord, bring Stretch Reynolds to me. Oh, God, bring Stretch. And I prayed for that 2 or 3 days, and I kept that track. Because God told me what track to give him. And one day, and I can't do it. One day, he sat right across from me. I had my Bible open, Brother Nowak. I always had that track there because I believed God would bring him. I'm not making this up. The track's laying there. He comes. Hold on. Oop. The track is laying there. Just like a... Grab that track. I didn't even say one word to him. He just sat down. I just kept reading my Bible. Act like he wasn't even there. And he grabbed that track out of my Bible. He reached across the table. And he started... It was like a questionnaire. And boy, when he finally got down to it, he said, you're not making me a Baptist! I said, his name was Bob. I said, Bob, did I tell you to sit down there? Did I tell you to reach and grab this out of my Bible? He said, no. I said, Bob, I'm going to tell you what I did do, though. I prayed to God in heaven that you would come and sit right across from me before you came. And that track, because he actually let me do the questionnaire with him. It was really phenomenal. And what happened when he got down to the center? He said, uh-oh, I'm a sinner. You say I'm going to hell. I said, I'm not saying you're going to hell. God's word says you're going to hell. He said, well, I'm a Catholic, and I don't care what you say. I said, I don't care what you say either. You're going to hell. God's word said it. Boy, we're in the cafeteria. People are jumping up and down. I mean, it's really wild. You ought to see me when I was young. Man, I was a sharp kid. He didn't get saved. But I saw the power of God. When we want it bad enough, when we want it bad enough, so much rich, where I'll die to the world and live under Christ, God makes things happen. He'll bring us people if we'll bring them the word. We just got to want it enough. We just got to want to do it enough. We just got to care enough for someone. Someone, somewhere, is waiting for somebody like you and I to reach out with the love of Christ. This week, let's try to reach out for someone. Not just anybody. You pray, God, bring that person to me. God, show me. They're out there. We just need to get plugged into Christ, Bobby. He'll show them. He'll bring them to us. He'll put them in our life if we'll just get in tune with them. Here's the tune-up. Start reading the Bible more. Get that Bible where you're filled with the Spirit, filled with His Word, and just let the Word... I'm done with this. There's a scripture trying to come to me here. And so it's over in the Gospel of John. And I'm all done. I think it's John 7:39. I don't know. I think I'm right on that. It says, John 7:39. If you believe on me, as the scripture says, out of your innermost being, out of your belly, shall flow rivers of water. See, Brother Tim, we've got the word of life. We've got the living water. And if I'm plugged into God enough, when they come, I'll give them. I'll be able to give them the living water, which they so badly need and which they so much thirst for. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, help us to be that person for that someone. Oh God, help us. Help us to want to be that person that could help that someone somewhere, sometime. Lord, help us to care. Help us to get close to you so when that opportunity comes, we're filled with the Spirit of God. We have the mind of Christ and the heart of Christ and the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance. Against such there's no law. Help us, Father. Help us to be what Corinthians 5:20 says. Help us to be ambassadors for you. Help us to represent the kingdom of God to a lost, dying world. Help us want that. Lord, help us to want that. Change our heart so we have a desire. God, give us a desire for a world that's perishing. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed today, how many could say, preacher, I'll be honest with you, lately my heart's not been right for the things of God, and I really need to get closer to God, pray for him. Who'd say that? Yes, yes. God bless you. God bless you. Yes. I mean, say, preacher, I'd like God to use me. And this week, I'm going to seek the Lord for someone. I don't know who they are. I don't know where it's going to be. But, preacher, I'm going to pray God would bring that someone in my life this week that I can make a difference. Yes. Who would say that? Yes. 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 By the way, I'm going to pray that also. Father, help us. Oh, God, the world's perishing. Jesus is coming back. Someone needs to have some priorities. Someone needs to realize all the stuff that we have in the world is going to perish. The only thing that's going to last are those that we bring to Christ. Holy Spirit, work in all our hearts today. Help us not to walk out the same. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to sing a verse. What page are you on, John? 138. You come right now. You want to get saved, you come. You want to just pray, you come. Maybe there's someone that you need to pray for. Oh, God, bring that someone in my life.